Hello, Jimmy Devine.
Nostra Thomas, what's happening?
Got done talking about that.
Ladies and gentlemen, my friend Thomas Sharp. Thomas Wade Sharp.
Well, I tell you what, after many, many sleepless nights.
Hours of deliberation.
Carl Bloom yelling, screaming in the background.
Being an ogre.
And saying, you know, slamming stuff, throwing papers at us.
Yelling, we got to get this done. We've spent too much time.
We finally have our name. It is Wisdom on Replay with Nostra Thomas and
Coach Jim.
And there you go, folks.
After we've had a lot of input. Some with vulgarity, some all kind.
Of fan mail with their ideas.
A lot of little kids throwing stuff at us that come to the building.
Stopping me in the middle of traffic. Here's what I think it should be.
You guys got to have a name. That was the first one I got. What's the name of the show? And Tom and I sat, and then we talked to Carl. We went to church a couple times, prayed on whatever. Yeah. And we finally, we did a little research and came up with some... Came up with a quality title. Now, that might change six more times.
No, it's not going to change. The first one changed where it's just Nostra Thomas and then, something about Coach Jim. Anyways, back to Nostra Thomas. And
gotcha. So, but everybody, listen, the response that we got from the first excerpt was amazing. Friends, family members, everybody. Stay with us. You know, we've got some great supporters, our friends at Comlink.
Comlink Communications, yes, sir.
The Holmes family, Levy Steele. Some of our friends over at the two branches of 422. Just everybody. And I'm humbled by the amount of interest in all the great things people have been saying. Tommy, people coming out of the woodwork. I didn't realize that Tommy and I were even remotely like this much. So it's been a good thing.
I think it's maybe a little bit of arm behind the back. Nah, we won't.
That ain't our game. That ain't our game. So
well, you know what? We do come through for others. That's why it happens. Yeah,
regardless of what everybody thinks. Our main premise is helping society, contrary to popular belief.
Helping it get better, or at least get in line with what I think is right.
There you go.
But we'll be coming at you with special guests. Little of everything, actually. But, the state of local sports, off season, during season, a lot of things to do in the off season. Coach Jim will have guests, a lot of area guests.
Some national level. We'll bring in some professional level. We'll bring in some scouts and some office, people that hold some important offices within the game of sports, agents, things like that, to kind of navigate what today's parents and kids and everybody else should be aware of when their kids are athletes.
And it is tough. And
Tommy's going to reach in a hat. What we did was we took a hat, a bunch of strips of paper, stuck it in there. Tommy's going to reach in like it's a bingo game. He's going to pull out a subject, and we're going to roll.
We're just going to roll with it. Well, it is extremely, when you're 12 years old, 13 years old, you think you got a long time, and you got a long time to get these things ironed out or whatever ironed out, whether it's, a swing, get your arm, get your stride, but you don't. And all of a sudden, ninth grade turns into 11th grade. And then now you're trying to fix something you've been doing the same way for 10 years.
Exactly.
And you're not fixing that in a couple months of practice.
The problem that we run into, Tom, and we've talked about this, because I was somewhat of a multi-sport athlete up into high school, playing all three. The advent of a kid that tries to play all three, you don't want to short circuit their memories and the fun they have and the friends and the camaraderie that goes on with that. But today at like a major school, like if you're at a bigger school like Harding, or the level of competition to do all three is, you really got to be out of your mind as an athlete, because there's so much specialty work anymore that it takes to be a competitive athlete in those things. And there's still scouts and people out there to believe that they'll go and look.
Yeah.
The kid's a multi-sport, and it's still in some of the medium and smaller schools, it's still a thing you can do.
You gotta give a shout out to Cam Hollibaugh. I coached him when he was 12 years old with my son. That kid is playing all the sports. He is just he was picked a, off he was a played, pass yeah, against Ohio State.
Yep.
He's a pass against West Virginia. Yeah, baseball yep. player. So, I mean, that's one heck of an Aryan athlete that we should be proud of.
Absolutely, because he was player of the year in all three sports, and he was at Kennedy.
Yeah.
Yep. And then he went to start his career at Walsh and had a great football and baseball career. And then he ran out with the portal in the fifth year. Then he stepped it up. He goes, I'm going to go to the higher level. He went to mid-level D1. He transferred into OU, and he's starting there. And two games, two interceptions. I know he basically won the OU beat West Virginia, and he stopped the drive to put West Virginia ahead. And
that's big stuff there.
The only thing I don't think he's played in college that he did in high school is basketball, and he was a heck of a basketball player.
He was
player.
A great basketball player. Yeah. I played with him in Youngstown State. We had a lot of games there. He was a good basketball, great basketball player too.
Yep. And then, and like I said, in the days of kids like that, depending on what school they're at, it's somewhat diminished. And when you see a kid come across doing that, the amount of time that they have to put, I mean, they eat, sleep, every day they're doing one, if not all three, especially if they have a baseball future. Because baseball future now, the level of competitiveness, you know, everybody catches up at some point. Then it comes down to your skill set and your fundamentals.
Well, there was a time where I went from basketball to tennis at Squaw Creek, and from that to play ball downtown.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would just run from one sport to the other. Now, wasn't tremendous at any of them, but very high
very humble,
level,
very humble there,
at
Tom.
Least a high level player, and you know, and do all three. And it's really, I really wish kids wouldn't. Like my son Vince broke my heart giving up on baseball. You know, he got on a couple bad teams, a couple of coaches that didn't know anything. He got bored. You know, kids today got a million other things to do. We didn't have anything to do. So, I mean, and he just kicked it to the curb and went to just basketball and worked every day on basketball.
The thing about that you see, and, you know, you drive through neighborhoods, you go through developments. Do you see a bunch of kids playing
No.
football by the streetlight? Do you see a bunch of kids playing wiffle ball in the yard? Do you see kids? Occasionally see a couple kids playing basketball in the driveway. But you just don't see that. If you go to, you know, the pickup courts of yesterday, like in Warren, you'd go over, you know.
What about the ball fields? I mean, we used to have like full 9-on-9
games. Go play some sandlot
game.
Yeah, the word sandlot, if you ask a kid today what sandlot means, they'd say the movie. they don't. And like, they need to see more stuff. But when you get.
No hide and seek. No, I don't hear any of that.
Yeah,
at night.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, a lot of imagination went out the window.
Well, and technology. I think to you that go back and look at this and loved your childhood, there were so many parents I know with mine. I wasn't allowed in the house.
My mother would be like,
if it wasn't a thunderstorm, like anything, get outside. Go do something.
It was
I don't care what
you
do.
8 o'clock, mom comes in, your bed better be made, bounces a quarter on it to make sure. And you are out. There's no coming in to watch Price is Right, unless I was sick or something.
The problem for me was they kicked me out of the house, and I didn't want to come back and eat dinner or do homework.
I got a whistle, and you better be home after that whistle, or you're not getting a second whistle.
Right. The old days. different atmosphere now. But like I said, if you've got a child that loves to go outside and get into stuff, playing baseball, throwing a ball off of, you know, God bless them, because it's what made kids great. But we also have a business that we have. What Tommy and I talked about this, and I made him laugh. It was probably about 2 months ago, and somebody asked us, you know, what do you guys do? I said, you know what we do? I said, we created a sandlot. We created a professional sandlot, and that's if you're going to get into the crux of what we do as far as Diamond Nine and U2 Sports. That was part of the idea I took, was, you know, my childhood going outside, the kids getting together, playing football, playing for anything like that. But we just did it with baseball and softball. And it's fun. It's funny because it just the irony of that people have now monetized the idea of when you look at what's the basketball part in AAU.
Yeah.
AAU's pick up basketball at the Y.
Yeah, that's what it is.
You know, but somebody monetized it and made it formal.
But I can tell you, though, the kids that you have, and like when I was umpiring, I brought a kid down there that was adopted and that.
Good athlete, too.
Just seeing that product coming around is really worth, it's really makes you feel like you're actually doing something to help a kid. You
if, know? If you're
Even
a parent.
If he doesn't make it to the major leagues, that's
if
not the
if
point.
If you're a parent out there and you wanna do right by your grandson, son, daughter, as an athletic parent. Somebody asked me, they said, well, you know, what are the best references you've seen? There's two books out there. And if you're a reader, you'll love them. They're highly interesting. A book called Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell talks about environment, how, read it and find out, how, you know, there's something that goes on. One person becomes a star within a community, then the rest of the kids chase it, and then they have a dynasty. Curaçao in Little League Baseball. They had Andrew Jones showed up. Yeah. They'd get 100 kids to sign up for Little League. Andrew Jones wins the MVP of the World Series at 19 or 20 or whatever it was. Next day, 700 kids in Curaçao sign up for baseball. They've been at the Little League World Series, I think, 16 years straight since that went on. The other one is a book called The Talent Code, and it talks about development of skill. There's a lot of talk about all the great athletes, Jordan, and not just athletes, musicians, how you acquire skill. And it's a scientifically proven 100% dead-on book. I tell parents all the time, because it will make you look at what worked for us as your parents, what worked for them, teaching us, but it streamlines what you can do for them. And I would tell you, I was blown away, and I only read those probably about 4 or 5 years ago, but I go back to them probably every 6 months, every 8 months, go through it. But it's great reading, and it's something that developmentally for your children, it'll really open your eyes, because if you look at most of the sports dynasties around here, one kid made it, then all of a sudden there was an environment, and the environment created all these great athletes. You look at Warren Harding football, you look at Champion basketball and baseball back in the years, you look at Kennedy sports, you look at Ursuline, you look at Mooney, you look at these places that have theoretically had dynasties, and it was one guy came. Somebody said to me years ago it was Ted Bell at Mooney, you know, and I've heard the legendary stories. He started the trend, and then everybody, and that's what creates competition, and kids become great. How, and I know back years ago when I first started doing lessons, they had just a montage of Division I baseball players come through there. Canfield's had a bunch.
Champion.
Yeah, you guys had a bunch. Kennedy in the later years has had some. Early on, we were too. When I was at Kennedy, we weren't good. But that baseball program's, there's a ton. Baseball
program's a long way. Also, what you don't say a lot is there's a lot of athletic parents that bring their kids to you. Now, listen, I played great sport, but your kids don't always listen to the parent. And like I've seen, we sit over there, all of us played high level, but our kid is over there with you. Their kid is over there.
I've been asked about that phenomenon a lot.
But that's just the truth. I mean, it works.
I had a guy yesterday, and he brings both his kids from Eastern out in Berlin. And I know he knows. He's got a pretty darn good idea about the game. And I was going through it with both his sons. One's 11, the other's 16. And the six-year-old, great talent, good-looking kid, smart. He's gotten by on natural ability for a long time. And now he's got, you know, everybody's kind of physically caught up. Good kid, but he just, you know, he's got to get a little better, a little faster, a little stronger. And his dad looked at me, he goes, I've been telling him the same thing since he was six. He goes, but you tell him. He goes, you tell him. He does it right away. I says, what do you want me to do? Come over to the house, tell him to take out the garbage, and he'll do it. And he started laughing. He goes, yeah, make his bed, things like that. I can't explain that phenomenon. And I know in my case, I've had kids that have come to me as clients, and I was the first guy through the wall with them, and they'd come, and then they'd maybe tune it out a little bit, and then they went to another guy, and it was maybe the third guy, and all of a sudden the light went off, and they turned into great players. Were we the foundation? Probably. Were the other two guys telling them anything different than I was telling them? No. But you do have a shelf life as a parent. They hear it all the time. They tune it in, tune it out. We get that a lot. So sometimes there's days where I don't try to talk a ton. I'll let them figure it out themselves.
Well, we have got to wrap this up, so why don't you wrap it up, Jim, with phone number and
absolutely. Anything in a consult, like I said, we have all the services. You know, if you need academic counseling, if you need speed and strength, if it's baseball and softball, if you just need some guidance trying to get your child recruited as an athlete,
or just some bad habit you want to get rid of.
You need somebody to talk to them on a sports front, or you just need information about what you need to do for your kid. Right. The phone number is 330-766-6790. It's Diamond 9 Development at the Den in Howland Performance.
Yep.
Phone number is 330-766-6790. The other thing I'd tell you, and Tommy knows, we have a lot of grant money, a lot of different things available. Don't let money be the reason it stops you from coming. We will work it out with you. We've got right now, I know we had a flash sale. What was it, Tommy? 80% off?
Yeah.
Even our normal fees, which are really reasonable. So if you have somebody that's looking for help, baseball and softball,
get in there now.
Call us right away, because that money's going to be gone quick.
All right. Thanks to the sponsors.
Absolute joy being on here today. And like I said, we look forward to talking to everybody on Saturday mornings.